This is Smart Tech, episode 1518. Hey Siri! Unpacking Apple's latest announcements, new iPhones, iPad Pro, WatchOS, and Apple TV. Hello, this is Chuck Minear, your host of the Smart Tech Podcast, and today I get to talk about my favorite thing, new tech goodies. Specifically, new goodies from Apple. On September 9th, Apple shared some new updates. But instead of repeating the entire keynote, which is over 2 hours, I want to give you some highlights. I thought there were several innovative things, and I want to talk about them. And by the way, if you want to see the keynote, or you want any further details on things, go to our website, www.smarttech.tv, smarttech.tv. And I even have a link there. You can watch the whole keynote right on the website. It's amazing to me when Apple announces something new, the negative comments immediately come out. I mean, if some of these things happened 20 years ago, the world would be in awe. Instead, we go, really? That's it? Can't you show me something really exciting? Well, let's see if we can pull out the exciting from the mundane. So let's talk about Apple Watch. Now, I have an Apple Watch, and I've had it for a few months, and I really like it. It tracks activities, but what I like best are the notifications and calendar syncing. My next appointment comes right up on my wrist. Now, Apple's adding what it calls time travel. So the little knob on the side is called the digital crown, and you can turn that in OS 2 and scroll through the events of the day before or after and see what's on your calendar. Transit directions are finally being added to Apple Maps. Yay! And that means that those will show on your watch. Now, Google's had that for a long time, but Apple has not. That is very handy. They also show what they call third-party complications. Now, a complication is something that is added to the watch that's beyond time, that's a third party or something that you wouldn't normally put in a watch. So they're adding complications that can be added by third parties. This allows all sorts of notifications to be sent by third-party apps. For example, airline schedules, to-do lists, and updates. I already use a program. For example, another example called OmniFocus. I really like it's to do to-dos. It's a very robust task manager. It's built on David Allen's getting things done method. And OmniFocus now has developed an app for the phone, and it's not built. It's hard to explain because in the old system, you would load information and actually the app off of your phone. It would load via Bluetooth. But now that you have third-party complications, some of those apps can actually sit on the phone. And so they're more robust. And when you look at it, you can drill down into tasks and check them off right on the phone and do some interactive things that you couldn't do before. I'm sorry, you can drill down and check them off right on the watch, something you couldn't do before. Now, Apple also added a line of ridiculously expensive watch bands, including the one that looks like someone added a belt to a watch. It kind of wraps around your wrist twice, and it looks ridiculous, and it's expensive, as I said. That's why I call it ridiculously expensive, but I guess I'm just not that fashionable. The iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, their phones, besides adding pink, I mean rose gold, they call it, to the color lineup, the phones include something called 3D touch. You can actually invoke different commands to the phone by the pressure you apply to the screen. So let's say you click on something to preview and then think that's interesting. So you press harder on the screen and it launches the thing you're looking for. It sounds intriguing. I have in front of me, as I record this, my new iPhone 6S. And it is updating and restoring on the computer while I record this. So I will give you a report later on how well that works. Live photos. This is really interesting. I feel like I've jumped out of a Harry Potter book. Apple's making iPhone images a little more dynamic with the introduction of a new feature called Live Photos. Before and after the shutter closes, Live Photos captures a second and a half of footage, so a video footage. So when you view the image later, it plays like a short video clip. So in Harry Potter, you know, the photos, if you've ever seen the movie or read the book, the photos in the newspaper actually move. They're little video clips almost, or in a frame on the shelf, they actually move. And that's what this is. Let's say that you take a photo of a rushing river. If you 3D touch the photo while you're watching it, you press harder, you actually see the water begin to move in the photo. It would actually loop, and it would actually look like you're standing there on the riverbank. It's pretty interesting. Now, the iPhones are faster, of course, and they're fast enough to be able to take and edit 4K video. Now, 4K is, you know, high resolution HD video on steroids, and it's ultra high def video. And this camera in this phone can take 4K video, which is pretty amazing. That's a lot of data to record. But not only can it take it, but iMovie on the phone or on the new iPads can actually edit 4K video. And before, when you put 4K video on a computer and try to edit it, it's very sluggish because there's so much data you're trying to move around. So they've come really far in the ability to take and manipulate video. Now, Siri is supposed to be more improved and interactive, and we shall see. I have mixed results with Siri. I probably do about 60%, 40% success. So when I use my watch, it's about 60-40. When I use my phone, it's probably more like 80% success when I talk to Siri and try to have a command executed. So hopefully they have really improved that. And speaking of Siri, it is also now included in the remote control of the new Apple TV. The Apple TV will be able to run apps like an iPhone. And the remote control has a built-in touchpad so you can move videos back and forth, you know, like fast forward, rewind, just by sliding your finger on that pad. And if you like Siri, you can talk to the remote control and say something like, you're watching a movie and you say, Siri, what did she say? And the Apple TV will jump back 15 seconds to replay the last statement in the movie or the show that you're watching. So it's kind of fun. I think their biggest announcement was the new iPad Pro. It has the biggest screen on an iOS device and is a bigger screen than some OS X devices. It's 12.9 inches, and it can support a full-size virtual keyboard on the screen, and it will be the first iPad to feature an optional physical keyboard and a stylus. The Pro will have an A9X memory chip, making it 1.8 times faster than the old 8X chip that's in the iPad Air 2. And Apple claims it's faster than 80% of portable PCs, that means laptops, shipped in the past 6 months. So that is a fast unit, 80% or faster than 80% of the laptops shipped of any brand. The iPad Pro's new four-speaker audio setup will also rebalance itself on how you hold it. You know, so, you know, normally if you're watching a movie sideways, remember the speakers are on the end, so the sound comes out the right if you're holding it with the speakers to the right or to the left when you turn it. So now there are four speakers on the unit, and so it knows which direction you have the iPad turn, and it adjusts the volume between four speakers so the sound sounds more natural. The 10-hour battery life and 5.6 million pixels also helps it compete with traditional laptops or other tablet and keyboard combinations. Now, old-time Apple supporters, if you're watching the keynote, old-time Apple supporters had a bit of a heart attack when Apple invited Adobe and Microsoft, both which have become huge rivals. Microsoft has been a rival for, you know, forever, since its founder kind of jumped ship from Apple, because remember, he used to work for Apple, write software for Apple, and created Microsoft, and Adobe more recently, as Apple CEO Steve Jobs decried Flash and said that it was, you know, bug ridden and spyware ridden, and that they weren't going to support it on Apple devices, and kind of wiped out the Flash market for Adobe. So it was kind of strange to see them both up there, but they both demonstrated iPad Pro focused versions of their iOS apps. Adobe did showed a program called Photoshop Fix, which is a new app that lets you quickly retouch photos using the stylus, while PowerPoint will now convert stylus ink into objects that you can use in your slides. The tablet's being positioned as a professional tool, and it has a price to match, at starting at $799 and going up to $1,079. So it is the price of a small laptop. And there'll be a lot of criticism for it, because the keyboard does look a lot like the Microsoft Surface. But the difference between, let me just say this, if you're a big Windows user, the Surface is a great, especially the higher end Surfaces, are great machines. They let you use Windows 10 with the touchscreen or with the traditional screen. They let you run almost all of the Windows software that's compatible with 8 or 10. And they're good. They're really good machines, and they give you the best of both worlds. But the problem is Windows 10 is not a touch OS. They've added touch OS. They've added touch to Windows so that you can use a touch screen with it, but it's not very fluid. To me, it's clunky. It doesn't flow. iOS is built as a touch screen OS, and so it's a lot more fluid. It's a lot easier to use than Windows as a touch. And so if you're mostly wanting to use your device as a touch device, then this new iPad Pro with the best touch interface, which is iOS, I mean, bar none, the best, because it's the most mature, is going to be a game changer for a lot of people. And it'll be interesting to see how it's accepted by professional communities. Because one of the things that Steve Jobs really touted when he first showed an iPad was that he was not going to use a stylus. And now Apple has kind of come full circle. And in fact, he trashed them as styluses when the iPad came out. But $99 buys you what they call an Apple Pencil. And it's a dedicated iPad Pro stylus that allows for precision drawing. And it can be used simultaneously with your finger. So you can use a stylus and your finger. So someone who's doing, you know, I've seen artists, I am not an artist, but do drawings where they have a pencil and then maybe they use their finger to smudge or chalk or something, and they use their finger to smudge or whatever. They go back and forth. You can do that with the stylus and the new iPad Pro. Granted, Apple's jumping into the market that's been filled by third-party designers for years, so anyone who's absolutely needed a stylus for smaller iPads probably already has one. But the integrated electronics in the Pencil and some of the other abilities make it, looks to me, as like I said, as a non-artist, as if you're doing drawing and you're doing precision work, as something that you'll want to add on. I can't imagine getting a $1,000 iPad Pro and not spending the $99 on the Pencil to go with it, but we shall see how that works out. And the same goes for their other new iPad Pro peripheral, which is the $169 woven smart keyboard case. That does look a lot like Microsoft Surface keyboards. Even if they're not new concepts, this is the first time Apple has made its own versions of these accessories, positioning them as an integral part of the product. They'll all be out in November, along with the iPad Pro. So there you are, my highlights. There were many more things said over the 2 hours, including some of the advances to medical care through Apple products. In fact, I think watching the part of the keynote where they show the medical advances that Apple is kind of at the forefront at with their devices is really, really interesting. I don't know whether it's relevant to everybody, especially my listeners, except I think it shows the versatility of the iOS devices. So that might be a part of the keynote that's fun to kind of scrub through and watch. But my suggestion, as usual, is to go down to your local Apple store, if you have one, and try the things out. The thing about Apple products is when you watch them on the screen, they look really fascinating, but they don't look revolutionary, at least at this point. They did when they first, when Steve Jobs, I was at the at Macworld when he introduced the first iPhone. And when he introduced that and showed the apps running the way they ran, that was innovative and a game changer. Everybody could tell that. But when he showed the iPad and years later, and people said, well, it's just an iPhone bigger. I mean, what's the big deal? But there was more to it than that. And to discover it, you had to hold it in your hand. You had to go in and you had to touch it, feel it, use it. And so that's what you need to do with these devices to see if there's something that might interest you. Go in, try it out. Apple stores are very friendly for that. And see whether this is something that you need or not need and something you want to save for or you want to wait for further innovations. Nothing that Apple announced was a complete game changer, but there were many solid advances in this keynote. So I hope this gives you a little taste of it, a little overview, and saves you a couple hours of watching it if you don't want to watch. If you want more information, you want some links to the keynote and to other things, go to our website, www.smarttech.tv. People have asked me what they can do to help Smart Tech, and I'll tell you the one of the best things. There's really two things, but one of the best things is to go click on the iTunes link on our website and to give us a rating on iTunes. iTunes is the most used podcast distribution vehicle in the world, and the more ratings we have on that, the more it puts us up in search engines, and it allows us to reach more people with the message of Smart Tech. So if you want to help us, next time you're at a computer or on your device, if you click on the iTunes link and give us a rating, even if you have before and it's been a while, we would really, really appreciate it. The other thing you can do is to use our Amazon link. We have a link on the right side of the page. Every time you refresh the page, there'll be kind of a different picture of an Amazon, something from Amazon there. But it doesn't mean you have to buy that thing. If you click on the Amazon link, it takes you to Amazon, gives them a little code, and it gives us credit if you purchase something on that view. So what would be nice is if you would take your one viewer has a link on their device, and it doesn't go to Amazon, it goes to that link from our website. So he took the link, right-clicked on the link on our website, copied the link, and then made a shortcut on his computer using that link. So every time he goes to Amazon, he clicks that link, and it gives Smart Tech credit. And we really appreciate it because every little bit helps. You know, the last few weeks we had a hack attack, and it went way deeper into our system than I had expertise to fix. And so I had to go out and hire a programmer to help clean up these idiot people who decide they want to hack websites. So this is a labor of love. We don't make money off of Smart Tech, but it's but we like to share our tech knowledge and advice with all of you. So that really helps us. And the last thing, I said two, but I'm going to do three because, you know, I apparently like to talk. Sign up for our email list. It's easy. It's quick. It's on the right side of the webpage, smarttech.tv, and it allows us to keep in contact with you as well as our Facebook page. And over on the right side, there's social media links and whatever your particular flavor of social media is. We probably deal with it, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. It's all there, and it's all for you to click on the Smart Tech website. And we have 2 years of archives there. So you click on the archive button and go look at some old Smart Tech or listen to some old Smart Tech, I guess, and see how the world's changed in 2 years, a little over 2 years now. So thanks again for listening this week. I am your host, Chuck Minear, and this is the world of Smart Tech. And we hope that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.